Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Paul tells us that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual powers. And in Ephesians 6, you can read it later, Paul goes on to talk about the armor of God. Because we are in a spiritual battle, we must put on, everyone say put on. Paul says put on the whole armor of God. And so you'd have to be a fool to fight a spiritual battle without the spiritual armor. Put on the whole armor. James chapter 4 verses 7 to 10 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God." Everybody say submit to God. It says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Draw nigh, and he will draw nigh to you. I want to speak today on this title, simply this: living in victory. Somebody say living in victory. Living in victory. Lord God, we thank you for the cross today. We thank you, Lord, that you won the victory at the cross. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we are conquerors in you and that we can live victorious in you. And so as we go to your word today, speak to us, speak to every heart, to every circumstance and every situation. Lord, help us not to be distracted from what you want to do in this house and what you want to say. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Living in victory. Victory began at the cross. The old song says, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away. We are victorious because of the cross. And we celebrated the death, burial, and resurrection at Easter time. It wasn't that long ago. But the cross speaks volumes to us. And the cross is the central piece of Christianity. Because it was there that Jesus paid the price for our sins. And it was there that he won the victory over every wicked thing in this world. Somebody say amen. Amen. But Jesus didn't die so that we could live defeated lives. He died so that we, as this title today is, the theme is that we can live in victory. That doesn't mean, as some TV preachers may tell you, that you're not going to go through any difficulties. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be times where you're going to go through hardship. But in everything that you face, you can be victorious. You can rise above it. You can make it through. The Bible says, when I go through the fire, when I go through the water, I'm going to come through because we are victors in Jesus Christ. Paul is writing in our text to the church at Corinth. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. And in these writings, when he talks about, you know, not warring against the flesh, and in Corinthians, he talks about that we are fighting a spiritual battle when he's writing to the church at Corinth. Paul is trying to get a message across to the believers. Everyone say believers. Believers. Those that are in the church, he's trying to say, you know what? When you became a Christian, you walked onto a spiritual battlefield. You walked onto a spiritual battle. When you were born again, you are in a battlefield. And you know that the enemy is not interested in you as long as you're doing what he wants. But the moment that you give your life to God and you begin to live for Jesus, you can be sure that the enemy of your soul is going to do whatever he can to get you back. And so Paul is saying, don't be fooled. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean it's going to be a bed of roses. That we are in a spiritual battle. You see, the Christian life is not a playground. It is a battlefield. And so we have an enemy of our soul. And when you're living in sin, then he's not going to come against you. But when you begin to want to pursue God, you can be sure that he's going to do whatever he can to get you back. And so Paul tells us that we are in a battle. And it's not a battle against flesh and blood. People are not your enemy. The Bible says we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we are in a battle. We are in a warfare, a spiritual warfare. Now, the most dangerous thing that the devil could tell you and make you believe is that he doesn't exist. That's probably one of the most dangerous things. Spiritual warfare is a reality. Everyone say a reality. It is a reality for every believer. It was even a reality for Jesus. So if Jesus was going to be in spiritual warfare, who are we to say, you know what, you know, we're not going to have any battles? Because Jesus himself, when he was baptized in the River Jordan, when he was baptized, he immediately went up and he was praying in the wilderness and he was praying and fasting. And you know what? When he's praying and fasting, that is when the devil came to him. The devil comes right after Jesus is there praying and fasting, and he begins to pour the heat on Jesus. The devil doesn't hit him when he begins the fast. The devil comes to him when he's feeling weak and when he's fasting, and in that time of weakness, the devil comes to him. And we know, some of you can testify and say, you know what, I experienced that, Pastor. I remember when I was baptized, when I was filled with the Holy Spirit and I made that decision and declaration that I wanted to live for God, that the enemy came against me through so many different means. And the same happened to Jesus. And so we must learn, if we're going to be victorious down here, if we're going to be able to navigate our life as Christians, we also need to understand the spirit realm. To be able to navigate the spirit realm, otherwise we won't get it right down here. You see, what happens in the spirit, the conflict in the invisible realm, the spiritual realm, affects what's happening in the visible realm. What is happening in the visible started in the spiritual realm. And so spiritual warfare is a reality for every believer, but I'm here to tell you today that we can live in victory. When we speak the name of Jesus, there is power. There is power. How many songs do we have to sing about the name of Jesus this morning? They didn't happen to know what I was preaching, but in the name of Jesus, there is power, and we can live in victory. Now, a lot of people are curious about spiritual warfare. It's one of those things that always will prick people's ears up. And we must remember that we have power in the name of Jesus. Now, when it comes to spiritual warfare, though, there are two ditches on the side of each of that road of spiritual warfare. Two ditches that some people fall into those ditches. The first ditch is that they believe everything happens because of demonic activity. Anything that happens, you don't get a car park, oh, it's the devil. Your battery goes flat, devil. To believe that everything happens because of demonic activity, you don't want to fall in that ditch. Some things that happen in your life, it's because of you, your flesh. Sometimes our flesh is our biggest problem. The decisions that we make, you don't want to fall in that ditch. But the other side of the ditch, the other side says, well, because I'm a Christian, it's not going to happen to me. I'm immune from it. And you know, people think that's because they're a Christian that's never going to happen. I've come to tell you that spiritual warfare is a reality, but we can live in victory. And Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we would live defeated lives. Some people think that even in rebellion, that the devil's not going to come against them. When you're rebelling against God, you're opening yourself up to torment. You're opening yourself up to oppression. When you rebel against God, you can even be opening yourself up to possession. So don't fall in the ditch on either side of the road. Don't fall into that ditch that says everything is a demon. No, not everything is a demon. And don't fall in the other side of the ditch that says, I'm a Christian, it can't happen to me. You see, Luke chapter 11 verse 24 is a very interesting scripture. There's nothing in the Bible by accident. Every word, the Bible is inspired by God. Luke chapter 11 verse 24, and every word is profitable. The Bible says that it is breathed by God and is profitable for instruction, for reproof, for correction. But here we read in Luke 11, verse 24, it says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places. Everybody say dry places. Why does that unclean spirit go to a dry place? It's looking to find rest in a dry place. And finding none, he saith, I will return to the house where I can. And so unclean spirits or demons, they roam looking for dry places. Everyone say dry places. When you are in a spiritually dry place, you become a target for the enemy. Now, I don't have to preach that. I don't have to spend a lot of time talking about that because you know exactly what I'm talking about. That the enemy will come against you when you get to that dry place. And the Bible says that when the unclean spirit leaves the man, it looks for a dry place. The devil thrives in spiritual dryness. That's why I encouraged you a few weeks ago about praying through to get a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the opposite to dryness. He said, I'm going to give you rivers of living water. And he said, I want to tell you, you drink of those rivers of living water. And when you drink of those rivers of living water, which is the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you will not be dry. And so the greatest thing we have it to be able to be victorious is to ensure that we are drinking of the rivers of living water. Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said, the water that I'm going to give you, if you drink it, you're never going to thirst. And so when you allow yourself to become spiritually dry, and if you are spiritually dry today, let me tell you, it's time to take a drink of water. It's time to take a drink of the rivers of living water. Even just in our understanding of health today, we understand the importance of water. Water is so important to every part of life, and it is the same with the living water. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, Paul said this, he said, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. And that you might misunderstand that if you don't study that verse, because it says be filled with the Spirit. You may sound like it's just a one-off. But when you read that in the Greek, it says to be regularly drinking, to be continually filled with the Spirit. Now, even more than that, when you look at it, it says don't be drunk with wine where is in excess, but be filled. It's actually a command. Paul is commanding. It's not an option. You see, in spiritual warfare, we can't afford to become dry. We've got to be drinking and drinking of those rivers of living water, continually being filled with the Spirit. D.L. Moody was a great preacher, and he used to preach a lot about being filled with the Spirit. And somebody said, why do you put so much emphasis on being filled with the Spirit? And he wasn't just talking about people that have been filled for the first time, but to be continually refilled. And D.L. Moody, they said, why do you put so much emphasis on that? He said, because I leak. I leak. He goes, you know, as I go through life, there's a lot of things that can drain you. He said, that's why I got to make sure that I go back again to the well of life, which is Jesus, and drink again of those rivers of living water. I want to tell somebody today, you can live in victory. Somebody say victory. Victory. Amen. We all experience dry seasons. If I was to go around this room, you'd be surprised. Every single one of us can say that we've been through dry times. Even great men of God, David went through dry times. Elijah went through dry times. Job and Jonah. David was dry when he says, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, I am thirsty, I am dry, I need more of God. There's times when we don't feel like praying. I know you're not meant to say that in church, are you? There's times when we don't feel like reading the Word. The bread of life. There's sometimes when we pray and it feels like our prayers are just bouncing off the roof. Don't stop praying. It happens to everybody. It happens to great men of God. And if you're in a dry spell today, I want to tell you the answer is to take another drink of the rivers of living water. Oh, reach out to God and say, God, fill me afresh with your Spirit. Touch me again. And so how do we keep the enemy at bay? How do we thrive spiritually? You see, the devil hates to go where the Spirit is flowing. He won't go where the living water is. He looks for dryness. And so, you know, that awareness, maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, you know, I can feel that. I know what you're talking about. I'm aware as I sit here today that I'm dry. Let me tell you, you ought to thank God for that. You ought to thank God that you feel that today, because that is God correcting. That is God speaking. And and the Spirit of God is saying, you're dry. So what do? When you're thirsty, you take a drink. But you know what? If you keep resisting that, and if you keep ignoring that when God speaks, eventually your sensitivity will go to a point where you don't even hear it anymore. You don't feel it anymore. Even maybe a reprobate mind, where you think, even though you're dry, you think you've got it all together. I had somebody come to church. They'd been backslidden. They had lived a crazy life. They'd come to church every Sunday, even though they were living that crazy worldly life. And they said, one Sunday, they said, Pastor, I'm really scared. I said, what's wrong? What's wrong? He goes, well, you know my life. You know what I do, and I'm ashamed of all of those things. But today I came to church and I didn't feel anything. He said, every time I come, I sit here and I feel convicted. But today I came and I didn't feel anything. And he was scared because he felt the comfort of God in correcting him and speaking to him, even though he did nothing. And eventually God says, well, shall you continue in sin that grace may abound? And God just, the voice of heaven just went quiet. You see, when you resist, you see, correction is a beautiful thing. You ought to be thankful when you come to church and God speaks to you and he knocks you back in a path and he nudges you back on the right way, because it is the love of God. How many people know we need tough love? How many people's parents gave you tough love? Yeah, I know what tough love is for sure. My parents reminded me, if I didn't like it, it was called tough love. And God is going to give us tough love as well. Just like he's a father, very parental. So what causes dryness? Well, number one, you might be surprised by this, but sometimes physical exhaustion and fatigue. Something in the physical can begin to affect the way you feel in the spiritual. When you go through a sick time, when you're really sick, and or you're maybe you're working really long shifts, like 12 hours a day, and you've done 7 days straight. Sometimes you can begin to feel fatigued. The Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You've got to look after 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. So sometimes spiritual fatigue can come from physical fatigue. When you don't look after yourself and when you're run down. The second thing that can cause spiritual dryness is that, it sounds obvious, but you're running on empty. You're continually giving out, but you're not receiving. That can happen in ministry, where people are continually pouring out and giving. And mothers know what that's like. And I pray for our mothers as they give out and they're working and looking after the kids and being stretched from pillar to post. And they're giving out. And mothers, you've got to have that time to go and to refuel on the things of God. You can become spiritually dry because you're just continually giving out and you're trying to run on empty. But let me get in your face a little bit now. The third reason we can begin to feel dry is that we are living our life in a contrary or a cold spiritual setting. We are being around the wrong people, hanging out with the wrong. You know, as a Christian, when you begin to hang out with the wrong sort of people, there's a way they just drain you. Or maybe you're going to the wrong place. Wrong place is where you shouldn't be. And you can feel that you're just becoming spiritually dry. It's just draining you. Maybe you're exposing yourself to things on TV. That's going to cause dryness or worldly entertainment. It will produce spiritual dryness in your life. If you're listening to worldly music, it's going to produce spiritual dryness in your life. You see, there is an environment which will drain you. Be careful. And I'm not saying we have to be in the world, but we've got to not be of the world. Don't let the world get inside of you. A submarine is useless in the dock. It's got to be in the water. But when the water gets in the submarine, it becomes useless as well. And so you can become spiritually dry because you're living in a cold place. You're among the wrong people. What you're consuming in media and entertainment, it's drying you up. The fourth one, really obvious, is that you're living in rebellion against God. That will make you dry. When you know God wants you to live a certain way, and when you know God is speaking to you about certain things, but you just say no, or you just ignore it. And I got a verse for that. Psalm chapter 68 and verse 6 says this, God setteth the solitary in families. I'm thankful for that. Those who are lonely can find a place in the family of God. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Those that reject God's authority, those that reject God's word, those that just say, you know what, I don't want to hear it. I know what I'm doing wrong, but I'm just going to do it anyway. It's going to bring a dryness. Let me tell you, if you are feeling dry today, take a drink of the rivers of living water. And that's why this altar, when we come and pray at this altar is not a place for people that come when their life, of course, if your life has fallen apart, you get to this altar. But this altar is a place where we all come. Doesn't matter where we are in our Christian walk, we come. Sometimes we just come and say, Jesus, I'm kneeling at this altar. I'm humbling myself at this altar. I just need a fresh touch. I just need another touch. I just need another drink. I'm feeling spiritually dry. And so living in victory. Everyone say living in victory. Jesus didn't go to the cross so that we would live defeated lives. And what was achieved at the cross was nothing short of complete victory for us. The cross was prophesied in the first prophecy in the Bible, Genesis 3 verse 15. And it says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and the seed of the woman, which was Jesus, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That is a prophecy of what happened at the cross. Yes, the heel of our Savior was bruised in that his body was on that cross and he died and his blood was shed and a spear was shed in his put in his side and a crown of thorns on his head. But it was nothing but a bruise. But at the cross, Jesus crushed Satan's head, which speaks of authority and power. That's what happened at the cross. Jesus didn't go to the cross and die so that we would live defeated lives. Let me tell you, our life, listen, is a replay of the victory that has already been won. You win if you'll just stand on that victory. You win if you don't move. You win. It's already done. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ that loved us. We don't have to fight for victory. We fight from victory. Let me say that again. You don't have to fight for the victory. The victory's already won. You fight from victory. You can live in victory as a Christian. You know, we sing songs about heaven, and I love songs about heaven. In the sweet by and by. It's all going to be good when we get to the sweet by and by. But you know, you can have victory in the nasty now and now. I know it's not nice down here, but you can live in victory. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to live in victory. Galatians chapter 5 verse 1, and I hasten. It says, stand. Everyone say stand. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Christ has made you free. Stand. You win if you don't move. Amen. Praise God. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus said this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Why did Jesus say that? Because there was no way that Satan would just release us from his captivity. Jesus said, but I've come to bring you out of that captivity. And he also said that because there was no way that we could liberate ourselves from that captivity. And so Jesus said, I have come. I am anointed to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the deliverance to the captives, to bring out of those, out of whatever captivity that they're in, Jesus said, I have come. Let me tell you, we will face battles here on earth, but through Jesus, we can be victorious. We can be victorious. Somebody say amen. The offspring of the woman, Genesis 3:15. The offspring of the woman, was Mary. The offspring was Jesus. At the cross, the victim did not remain the victim. Jesus didn't remain the victim. He became a victor. He walked out of that grave 3 days later, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And his victory is our victory. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Revelation 1 verse 18, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death. He was not overcome, he overcame. He said in John 16, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise God. He has overcome the world. You see, we have power in Jesus' name. When you feel under attack, remember you have power in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. When you speak the name, you are speaking the most powerful name. When you feel like you're under attack, there's power in the name of Jesus. Sister Sue Sarantos was with me when we went to a place in India, in Varanasi, a very, very dark spiritual place there in India. And I was there to preach to a whole lot of pastors. We had about 50 pastors there in a seminar. And we were there for 3 days and we're coming back home. And the moment I landed, I lost my voice. Now, as a preacher, that's a pretty critical thing. Lost my voice. I woke up in the morning. I didn't have any voice. It was a spiritual attack. Okay, it doesn't mean just because I'm a Christian or a preacher that there's going to be no spiritual attacks. The devil can try whatever he wants, but I'm going to be victorious. And so I woke up in the morning and I think I don't have a voice at all, no voice. And so I sent my friend who was in the room with me, Brother Daniel. He went down, had breakfast, and I was just there. And I only knew one word prayer. Jesus, Jesus, help me, Lord. Help me. I couldn't even vocalize the words as I'm getting ready. And I just stepped out in faith. We went to church and I don't know what we were going to do, but I had some notes. Maybe Sister Sue could have read them or Brother Daniel could have read them. And I had some notes. And so I just spoke the name of Jesus. I've got victory in Jesus. I'm thinking these words. And so I go there. I go up to get ready to preach the first message. And I began to speak and my voice began to come back. Because there's victory in Jesus' name. There is victory in Jesus' name. And Sister Sue will tell you, I preached 18 times in 2.5 days there in Varanasi. And how hot? 48 degrees temperature with no air conditioning. It was so hot. We were in a concrete building, a concrete walls. 48 degrees. When it's 48 degrees in the 40s every day, the walls become like ovens. There's heat radiating out of the ovens. I drink 3 liters of water every couple of hours. But there's power in the name of Jesus. When you begin to speak the name of Jesus, you get victory. There is authority in the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. We got to learn to take authority in Jesus' name. My mom and dad taught me from a young age, if I got a wart on my finger, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Any sickness, if my budgie flew away, I pray that budgie's coming back in Jesus' name. We got to know our authority that we have in Jesus. As I finish, I want to just cover 4 quick steps. James chapter 4, verse 7 to 10. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Submit to God. Everybody say, submit to God. If you want to live in victory, it starts by submitting yourself to God. There is power in submission. And that submitting is a continual thing. You know, sometimes your pride's going to raise up. You're going to have to submit yourself to God. Submit your thoughts to God. So even if you think you're right, you say, God, I am wrong. You are right. Your word is truth. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Submit to God. The devil is a liar. Let me tell you again, the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. And so you submit to God. When you submit to God, you say, I'm gonna stand on the word of God. Not what I see, I'm gonna submit to God. And so we believe lies about God, I'm gonna submit them to the God's word. We believe lies about ourselves, I'm gonna submit those lies to God's word. Because the devil may tell me I am one thing, but I am who God says I am. I am more than a conqueror. It says, resist the devil. Everybody say, resist the devil. It doesn't say fight the devil. Some people going around looking under every rock trying to find a devil. The victories, we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. Resist the devil and he will flee. It's there in the Bible. Resist the devil and he will flee. You see, sometimes we just need to tell the devil he comes, tempts us. We say, it is written. That's what Jesus did when the devil tempted him. He went to the word. He said, it is written. It is written. Resist the devil. Paul even said, I die daily. Sometimes our flesh, we got to resist the devil. And Paul got up every day and he said, you know what? Flesh die. Flesh, you keep getting me in trouble. I keep living by this flesh. I'm ending up in a mess. Paul said, I die daily. The third key to victory is cleanse your hands. Draw near to God and I will draw near to you. You see, we got to draw close to him. Draw closer to him. If you're distant today, let me tell you, the answer is to draw nigh to God. You know, when you take one step towards him, he takes, I believe, two, three steps towards you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. The fourth point in our text is cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. You see, that is repentance. Say, God, is there any wicked way in me? Any unclean thing in my life? Is there anything, Lord God, that shouldn't be in my life? Any sin? Is there anything that I'm doing, Lord, that you're not pleased with? Lord, cleanse my hands. That speaks of the outward. Purify our hearts. It speaks of the inward. Paul said, put off concerning the former conversation. Put off the old man and put on the new man. Let me tell you, we can live in victory. Somebody say victory. Somebody say victory. Come on, somebody say victory. I tell you, I'm not in this life for a nil all draw. I know soccer players, they think that's a result. That's not a result. It's a draw. We are victorious. It's not just, of course, some of that armor of God is defensive. But I'm going to take the sword of the Spirit, which is an offensive weapon. We can live in victory. You know, see, we got to remember who we are. You got to remember who you are. You are a child of God. You are a child of the King. And if you've been baptized in Jesus' name, you're in covenant with God. Somebody say covenant. You say, how did David go into battle against Goliath? Let me tell you, he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. It sounds like name calling, doesn't it? Not a very nice name to call somebody. But he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And I, you know, sometimes you might think, well, that's just name calling. No, what David was saying, because circumcision in the Old Testament was a sign of covenant. He said, that guy is not in covenant with God. I am. And so David knew who he was. And he went into battle against Goliath knowing who he was. He says, God is on my side. God is not on his side. He's an uncircumcised Philistine. And so he went into battle with boldness. He won the victory over Goliath because he knew who he was. I want to remind you today, you're a child of God. You're a child of the King. Jesus died for you on the cross. You can live in victory. It was won at the cross. It was won at Calvary. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. You can be victorious in Jesus. Let's all stand in this house today. Got to remember who we are. Got to remember who we are. I am not what the world says I am. I am not what the enemy says I am. I am what God says I am. I am a child of God. I have peace with God. Hebrews 4 says I am helped by God. Romans 5 says I am reconciled by God. Romans 5 says again, I am justified by Him. I have the righteousness of Jesus. I am completely forgiven. I am loved by God. I am the temple of God. I am the branch on Jesus' vine. That's who we are. I am joint heirs with Jesus. I share the inheritance that comes from the cross. I am sanctified. I can boldly approach the throne. I can boldly go into the Holy of Holies. Colossians 2 says this, that I am complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. That's who I am. I am adopted as God's child. I have been grafted in. I am assured that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. That's who I am. You can live in victory, somebody, today. You can live in victory. I am confident that He who began a good work in me is going to complete it. I am confident that I am God's workmanship. I might not be where I need to be right now, but God is continuing to work on me. I am confident that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Woo! Romans chapter 8, verse 35. I am confident that nothing can separate me from the love of God. I am confident that I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I want to tell somebody today, you can live in victory. You can live in victory. And so whatever you're going through right now, I want you to begin to speak the name of Jesus over it right now. Draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you. Resist, submit to God today. Maybe submission is your problem. Maybe you've never properly submitted to God. That's the first start. Get yourself under God's umbrella. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Let's lift our hands right now. We're going to sing in a moment. We're going to come and pray. I invite those that are dry today and thirsty to come to this altar. In fact, I'd encourage everybody to come. Come to this altar today. Get on your knees before God. Stand at this altar and say, God, I need another drink. I need another touch. Oh God, I need the drink of the rivers of living water. Lord Jesus, we just thank You, Lord, for the cross today. We thank You for the victory that You won at that cross for us, Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that we are more than conquerors through You, Jesus. That, Lord, we don't have to play for a nil-all draw. But, Lord, You won the victory at the cross for us.